The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What a great morning. Thank you, everybody. Again, my old line of talk radio, no man, its master. It is Saturday morning, March the 16th, 2024, the day before St. Patrick's Day. Our weather, high 40s today and much the same tomorrow. The sun comes out on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Longtime friend of mine, Jim Emery, who's a cultural anthropologist, and what a life he's led. And he did this lengthy piece on Ramadan. And so I invited him on the show. We were going to do a segment. And now it's turned into the show itself. Lines are full. Jim is the guest. And let's bring Jim up, if you would, Lou. And Jim Emery is back. And before we go to Sandy and to Patrick and the other callers, I was explaining to Lou, we were talking off air, the crescent moon, the new moon, and the Venus star. Right. And if you see an Islamic country, they have... It's a crescent moon or it's a new moon, and the star that is below it.
Actually, new moon.
Yeah. Now, who makes the call, and why is that significant? Why the crescent, and I believe the star is Venus. Why is that important?
Well, the rising moon, in other words, because the Islamic calendar, the simple answer is the Islamic calendar is lunar. So it goes from new moon to new moon. That's how they determine their months historically. Now, this is why you would have different starts of Ramadan. If you're in a mountainous area, if you have overcast skies, if there's variations and you're relying simply on the actual sighting of the moon, and also you have parallel sun and moon cycles. For example, Saudi Arabia, and most people use it in Mecca, you know, the sun sets and the moon might be visible on the horizon for a few minutes before it goes down, and you know, on the first day. So that's why a lot of them will use the actual charts to determine the start of Ramadan.
Who calls it? Who calls the beginning of Ramadan?
Well, it depends on the way it's done, because here's the deal, Pete. It's around the world. Some people, there's not a universal way of calling it, and because some will use the charts that are already laid out. Some believe that it should be determined by the sighting of the new moon in Mecca, and other people believe it's on the local sighting of the new moon, which is why you can be in a country, and I've worked in countries, and I have to put things out for people, and I would always caution them, look, these holidays, when I'm talking about the two Eids and Ramadan, they could start a little differently depending on when the moon is sighted, recognized by the local community. And so within countries and between countries, you can have Ramadan and the holidays start at different days. Now, that's becoming more universal simply because they're relying more on Mecca or the charts.
I don't know why I believed that someone was a mufti or someone in Mecca made the initial call.
And no, they do. Okay. I wrote that up in my article.
Okay.
That it was originally, it's called by them, but not everybody follows that.
Ah, okay.
See, I wrote it in the article.
With apologies.
Exactly. That's it. No, they're responsible for making the call, but it's up to who, different groups.
Okay.
Celebrated a different way and recognized it a different way.
But it's important that when you see the flags, and the flag has the crescent, and matter of fact, instead of the Red Cross, as you know, in the Middle East, it's the Red Crescent is the...
Yeah, the Red Crescent, mm-hmm. Saudi Red Crescent, Kuwaiti right. Red Crescent. We used to have a Kuwaiti Red Crescent right downtown off of Sattar Road in Peshawar mm-hmm. during the 80s. The Russians ruling.
But that's indeed. So it was in and of itself. All right, let's go to Sandy. Sandy, thank you for waiting. You're on a radio show, of course, the one and only Jim Emery. Everybody else, stand by. It's yours again. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy.
Oh, and let me interject one thing. Sandy, you brought up the Nephilim, and yes. You're aware of it. But for the benefit of listeners, they can find more about this in the Book of Enoch, which the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jubilees were two books that were very, very popular with Israelites, and they didn't make it into the canon of the Bible. And so you can find these online, or you can find them in bookstores if people want to learn more. It's fascinating reading. For what it's interesting on what made it into the Bible and what didn't. And the Book of Enoch is a great read, and you can find videos on YouTube about it, and also you can go and find articles and books on it. The online is a wealth of information, and I would encourage listeners to do research on their own to follow their own interest.
Sandy, go ahead.
Yes.
And Sandy,
so
thanks for bringing that up.
Yes, so the Nephilim, when in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And as I read it just in the standard King James, it's has it continued? We have Nephilim, and that's what we think the aliens are? I'm just curious.
No, what you'll have is when you get into the aliens, because now you have the skull, the shaped skulls, the elongated skulls, which you find in Latin America, also you found in the Middle East where they were wrapping it in Egypt. So you have, there's kind of a variation here that some people believe, and this goes back to Von Daniken and Chariots of the Gods and all these things, but other archaeologists also, you know, when they were looking at that, they believed some of these were signs of aliens from other planets visiting us. And also some were seen as signs of interbreeding. Between that. And of course, what you look at also is the fact, and this is more of a biblical, where you had the stories of the angels coming down and basically having relations with humans, and that offspring were created. And that was one of the beliefs of how the Nephilim were originally created, was angels having sexual relations with human women.
Correct. All right. Yeah.
Sandy?
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you, ma'am. We're going to jump. We go to Patrick. Now there's two lines open, 303-696-1971. Talk radio, no man, it's master. Patrick, you're on the show. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Peter, and good morning, Jim. I have two questions for you. Number one is why, God is supposed to be God of Israel. How come the Muslims come along and say their God wants to destroy Israel? And number two, all of this could be just abolished if God just would come down and talk to the people instead of through a surrogate.
James?
Well, on your first statement, you're talking about a human interpretation. And within a human interpretation, you can find one extreme to the other on virtually every religion on how they interpret it on an individual basis. And so the idea is, what you have within Islam, the way it originally came out, is people of the book. Jews, Christians were recognized as people of the book who believed in the same God, though they called him by a different name, Yahweh, Jehovah, so forth. And also they believed in many of the same prophets, if you go through it. And the prophets were respected and believe, and they had many of the same Bible stories. There might be some variations, such as the example of Isaac and, the sacrifice with Abraham, but the prophets' names were the same when you go through it. You know, just that, for example, none is Noah, Ibrahim is Abraham, Yusuf is Joseph who, you know, was sold into Egypt by his brothers, Musa is Moses, and so forth, Elijah, and all the way up to Jesus. Jesus.
No,
so there's a similarity there. Yeah. And what you're talking about, you have to understand what you're talking about, and I respect that, but it's a caveat of some individuals that believe that. Not all Muslims believe that. Most Muslims don't believe that. Most Muslims believe in the tenets that people of the book should be respected because they, in fact, worship the same God, and it's recognized that way.
Yeah, but Hamas and Iran,
Hamas
they sure don't believe
Islam.
In that.
Hamas is a renegade group. It would be, you know, it's absolutely a renegade group. And you will find people, and I've dealt with this type of thing, terrorist and insurgencies around the world, and typically what you will find is sometimes the more, and Gulbenyan Hekmati I dealt with a lot in the 80s, you know, bad guy. you know, and right. You would have these guys who, and Osama and others, they would project themselves to be good members of their faith, whatever it might be, good Christians, good Muslims, good whatever, Baha'i, you know, and but they were really bad. And the more devious they were, sometimes the more pious they would project themselves as a cover. And you will use religion and nationalism, and you have to be careful. You know, these people should come with warning labels. They'll hijack that and use it for their own power and their own greed. So you have to distinguish that and not taint the whole group for the actions of the individual. But within that caveat, it's also very important to identify people that are false prophets.
Patrick, go ahead.
Oh, yes. And the second part is, you know, if there is a God, he could solve this problem by showing up to the people, not somebody got a hit in the head and said, oh, I talked to
understand.
God. You know what I mean?
I understand. And that's, you have to take that up with God.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Good line. Patrick, thank you. 303-696-1971. Jim's here. And again, this started out in one direction and has really gone into the stuff in open lines, and what's being sent on text messaging is great. So again, to go back, if you had just joined us, Jim wrote this lengthy paper, and as an amateur reader, but all three stem with Abraham as the patriarch of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And also now these three moments come together with Easter and Passover, and of course Ramadan, and Jim was explaining the significance of Ramadan. And Ramadan lasts a month, and we were talking about, you know, when the sign is seen, the crescent moon and the star, and what it means. Most people, I believe, understand the significance of Easter or understand Passover, but Ramadan is different. And we were talking about, it's a month long, but it carries with it, well, so much. James, what all does it carry with it?
Well, it carries with it an obligation. It carries with it an obligation of sacrifice, that from sunrise to sunset, you are consuming no liquids, no food, no tobacco products, can't even chew gum because you could take food in from that, not supposed to have sexual relations. There's other things that you should not do. And there are some exceptions, pregnant nursing women and other, there's some exceptions and caveats there. People would make up the next month once they're able to for each day they miss. Now, with that, the focus is on spiritual renewal, and it's a month-long spiritual renewal. The focus of Muslims during this time is on their faith, and their faith with the individual, the greater jihad. The greater jihad, the internal struggle to be a better human being, to be a better Muslim, to be a better parent, to be a better friend, to be a better member of the community, to be better in all facets that are measurable and quantifiable and respected within their respective culture. So these are the facets. Along with that, going without the food, going without the nourishment, going without certain other perks, is to help them better understand and better realize the poverty that people are dealing with. So many people are dealing with poverty and deprivations and hardship, and it's to help them better empathize with that. And throughout Ramadan, throughout the year, actually, but especially in Ramadan, they are encouraged to tithe to the poor, to help the poor. And I want to qualify this, and I mentioned it last time, helping the poor can be financially, and it can also be words. Sometimes words have a stronger impact than merely giving a meal. In other words, words of validation, words of recognition, words of encouragement can change the trajectory of people one person at a time, that they suddenly recognize their own worth. They recognize their own potential because they're caught up in this toxic negative self-talk or other things, or deprivation, your hardship, or setbacks. And so they just need to get stable ground under them. And an individual, a stranger, can do that, or someone in the community. So this is where Muslims, and this is part of a spirit quest with everyone, you try to look at people differently. You look at people without judgment, but more with discernment. And the discernment might be, look, they could use a kind word. Look, they could use, look at this, they're trying to get money to get on the bus. Give them a buck, you know, or what? Or they need a meal, and you don't give them the money, especially if in certain places because they're going to buy booze, but you give it to them and you buy them a meal instead.
Because of time, is there a day of judgment in Islam?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
when
as a reader, the day of judgment comes.
The day of judgment comes, and it's one of the things that is done during the Hajj.
Explain what you mean.
Well, in other words, it's called Arafat Day. Arafat Day or Arafah. Mm-hmm. And it basically, this year, because again it's lunar, this year it will begin at sunset June 15th until sunset June 16th. So this, it's the second day of the Hajj. And this takes place on Mount Arafat, which is about 20 kilometers. It's 12.4 miles southeast of Mecca. And this is significant for several reasons. One, it's a location where it's believed Muhammad gave his final sermon before going to heaven. Mm-hmm. And okay, going up and calling up. And the also fact is that's where people, when the final reckoning comes, that is, they all are standing on these, they're standing all over this hillside to recognize that after death, on the final judgment, this is where people will be showing up to be finally judged.
So there is a judgment day.
Oh, absolutely. But there's a judgment day, but the judgment is going on through the person's life. It's hard for them to rectify afterwards.
So the life well led.
The life well led is the life that's rewarded, mm-hmm, in the spiritual manner. And the other ones, you know, go to the metaphoric lower places, hell.
Take the last comment. Well, this has just been wonderful. So a last comment, something that we've missed or something you'd like to say.
Well, I think it's just the idea of the spirituality. Again, you know, the objectives is to strengthen the objectives of the fast. It does more than building spirituality and empathy for the poor, but it also, the idea there's self-discipline there. And the self-discipline, this is very important for everyone to realize, regardless of faith, is that it strengthens the character, it strengthens the self-awareness, it strengthens the self-worth, enabling the individual to become closer to their respective God. But the inner strength, this is important, the inner strength carries over to everything a person does, from setting and achieving respective goals and objectives for themselves and family, to believing in themselves and their capacity and seeing things differently. People can get very depressed. They can get beaten down by life. They're walking around Earth looking at everything in black and white. They don't understand other people can see in color. And seeing in color and seeing the dimensions and seeing the depth of things happens when they change their attitude, when they change their outlook. And that can come from within, and it can be assisted by others. Again, in this individualistic culture, a kind word goes a long way with some people. Recognition. Well, hey, you're really good at that. Have you thought about this? You know, suddenly you perk somebody up. You don't know what's going through their life. You know, a lot of people here are having a hard time. So there's a spirituality that's shared communally that will elevate the entire country.
My final question to you, are the similarities greater or lesser? If we were to stand the three together, would I find more things similar, or would I find things more dissimilar in the three Western faiths?
Well, the core is similar. The core, because they evolve with the same prophets and the same text, that is very similar. There are distinctions in the respective sacraments and procedures within the faith and going beyond that. But the core elements are the same. And also the other thing too, Pete, and this is important for people to understand, spirituality, and I address this in the article, but I'm going to mention it here, is the fact that going through the motions, and this is true on anything in life, going through, regardless of your faith, merely reading and reciting sacred text and words, you know, where you're disconnected, you're not really thinking about what it means, does very little in the way of spiritual guidance. And you have to really be engaged in studying it and studying and get into a spiritual mode, which actually Muslims are required to do before they do the prayer. They have to put themselves in a spiritual mode, be ready to pray. Then they go through with their prayer five times a day. But for the individual, they have to really focus. And that's true in life. What is your objective of doing something? What do you want to get out of it? You have to take time aside to say, what do you want out of life? What do you want out of spirituality? What do you want to do with improving in a job or relationship or community access? And think about what you want to do, how to do it, and then put it in motion and commit to it.
You made the morning. This is going to be a 20-minute segment, and it turned into the best of the show. Jim Emery, everybody, and we will have you back. James, I know we'll talk privately over the weekend, but
sure.
Thank you so much. Let me add one last thing. Sure.
And this is for everybody. The most restrictive barriers that people have to overcome are internal, beginning with their attitude, their habits, their sense of self-worth, and perceived potential. This can get beaten down by others, toxic people, and it can get beaten down by negative self-talk. If people are in this state or have been dented through life, they have to recognize that and change the way they see themselves and change their attitude and thought process. And once they do that, then they can rewrite the story. Whatever they went through to date, they can't go back and change, but they can change the ending of the life they live.
We'll talk over the weekend. James, thank you very much for doing the show. Meant a lot.
Thanks,
thank you,
Peter.
All right. We go back to open lines in 303-696-1971. Began in open lines this morning about American people having trust in the government. And it's good stuff. Lines are open. And the significant, the question was, is you hear all the time politicians telling you about the best interest of the country or in your best interest. And do you buy that? Do you believe that the government has your or your children or your grandchildren? Do you believe that the government has their best interest at heart? 303-696-1971. Calitrin. And I just listened to Jeff Hunt talk about it in a commercial. It's safe and it hasn't, that again, it's science-based. It's 26 years of great success, better sleep, weight loss, all the good side benefits of Calitrin. There's better sleep. There's more energy. There's less joint pain. There is, of course, glowing skin. Doesn't interfere with any of your regular meds. 100% safe, stimulant-free, 86% success rate with weight loss. And take one daily dose at bedtime, pills or liquid. It's convenient. The medical staff is available to answer your questions and keep your weight loss journey there. And there's all kinds of great folks talking. The phone orders are 833-TOP-LOSS, 833-TOP-LOSS, or log on to TOP-LOSS, TOPLOSS.com. But again, it's terrific. And Calitrin contains all the right things, and it really does. You listen to Jeff Hunt talk, safe, natural, great side benefits, doesn't interfere with anything you're doing in terms of taking regular meds, 86% success rate with weight loss. Phone orders 833-TOP-LOSS or on the internet, TOPLOSS.com. Happy St. Pat's, everyone. 710 KNUS. I'm Peter Boyles. Good morning. 303-696-1971. Pretty good looking day. High 40s. Much the same on Sunday. And then the sun comes back Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're an open line, so it's catch as catch can. 303-696-1971. And again, this question, and I've been thinking about it really since last radio show, the best interest of the United States. And how many times you hear some politico say that or hear someone say that in the best interest, and you think to yourself, do these people really have my best interest at heart or my family's best interest? Are people that are still under the impression that the government or the country itself, the government for that matter, has any interest in me whatsoever? Or, in fact, what is the interest that they have? Lines are wide open, 303-696-1971. Ski season is in full swing. The snow's, you look at the snow they got. And you know what it means? Well, it's time to visit Larson Ski and Sport. A lot of people don't ski until this time of the year. when the it's warmer and it's lighter and everything that goes with it. It's a great time to ski. Take it from me. Anything you need, skis, snowboards, anything that's involved in going to the mountains, Larson Ski and Sport. Rent demos, always rent for your kids and grandkids. Next year, they'll be too small. So if you're a renter, you're looking to try out some different things, go see our friends at Larson, at Larson's. The guys at Larson's take time to get to know you and your family and match you with all the right brands. You can enjoy your time on the hill. Larson's is so convenient. You can stop on the way up the hill or stop on your way home. The big wooden building south of I-70 on Kipling. So you're westbound on I-70. The Kipling exit comes up. Get off the Kipling exit, down the ramp, make a left, go under I-70, out the other side, and then look to the west. Look to your right. You see the Crab Shack and then the big wooden building. 7 days a week. John Marriott, Jack Marriott, Paul, the guys at Larson's, absolute experts in everything you're going to need for winter sports, helmets and goggles and warm gloves. You stop in today and tell them I sent you. Larson's Ski and Sport, south of I-70 on Kipling, 303-423-0654, larsonsport.com. All right, here we go. We have a line open. Start now. We have jam lines. Diane, you're on the radio show. Good morning.
Great. Well, I've got a good Irish joke for you. Right. Since my father was a full-blooded Irishman, I know them all. But there was this man used to go in to his local Irish pub, and he would always order three beers. And it was every Saturday night. Sure. He'd come in, he'd order three beers, and then he'd go on home. So the bartender gets curious, and he says, yeah, I'm ordering them for three beers. The other two are me brothers. And he says, okay, great. So one day he comes in and he just orders two beers. And so the bartender gets real worried. He thinks, oh, gosh, one of them must have passed away. And he comes up to the guy and he says, I'm sorry for your loss. He says, what do you mean my loss? He says, well, you know, one of your brothers must have died. He said, oh, no, the doctor told me to cut down on my drinking.
Quit drinking. Yeah.
That's an old one.
That's a very good one. Yeah, I'm not drinking. Yeah, those guys. Yeah.
Okay, well, have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day, and I've been cleaning carrots and celery and all the potatoes and everything for tomorrow.
Making
lovely
the soul food.
Irish.
You
yes,
got it.
It would be great.
Thank you, ma'am. Be safe. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, we go to Ralph. Ralph, you're on a radio show. Good morning. It's a Saturday.
Yeah, Peter, I guess my question is this. You're asking, what is best interest?
Yeah.
And I think there's sort of the other side of the coin is what is also the responsibility that goes with that interest.
For instance?
Well, I'm thinking, okay, my best interest is for everybody in the world to give me money, right?
I don't want to flip it to what you think. What do you or how do you react when you hear Joe Biden say it's in your best interest to give $300 million more in military hardware to the Ukraine?
Basically, what I hear is some group has made a decision and they want me to either agree or disagree with it.
They don't. You get the sense they don't give a damn what you think?
No, I guess the question basically is it's almost a Manichaean approach to the thing. But
okay.
I'm going to say Ayn Rand on the one hand, and the other hand is basically, let's say a frontline army combat team. Where fundamentally, your life, there is no way you can go for your best interest without keeping everybody else alive.
But you're taking it down to cases, which is fine. But has this government lost or become adverse to we the people?
Well,
these are things I write down. These are things I write down to myself during the week. By the way,
no, but that's. That's precisely what the point I'm trying to make and make badly is we the people is not by myself. It is a group thing. Now, how you arrive at that group thing, how shall I say, is the course of history. And if you go back to Benjamin Franklin's speech when he signed the Declaration or signed the Constitution, it was not, this is a wonderful thing for everybody, but rather, this is the best we could do. Excuse me, that's my interpretation, but we tried hard. We even hid ourselves from public scrutiny for many, many months inside a very hot room in the summer with the windows closed and a guard at the door, and we hammered out the Constitution. Now, it's not, this is the best Constitution, but this is the best Constitution. But
that's, that again, part of my question. But have we lost, I believe, this is personal belief, that that notion of republic that Dr. Franklin talked about, we've totally lost that.
I believe he's right.
Yeah.
And there, but what I'm trying to get at is, well, I'll take two examples. One, John Kennedy.
Right.
Do not ask what your country can do for you.
And he stole. He stole that speech. That wasn't. He wasn't the first, but that was asked.
No, I mean
that was asked before.
Can go back way into history.
Yeah. Right.
But the thing is, that is sort of what I'm trying to say is that is the theory behind the Constitution. Now, when you go to what can I get out of government for me alone, without the responsibility or without any,
but,
see, it becomes solely selfish.
As a little geeky reader, they never, life, liberty, and the pursuit, that was the guarantee. It wasn't, there wasn't three hots and a cot. There wasn't that you can be a junkie. No, I'm serious. It's a heart attack. That
no,
you can
no,
be
what,
a junkie.
What I'm laughing about is Jefferson's comment.
Yeah.
You only have the pursuit of happiness. You have to catch it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, but they said was they guaranteed the pathway that life, liberty, and the pursuit and the right to property. Short of that, you know, if you made it, fine. If you didn't make it, it's on you. And now I just got done writing for the new column that's coming out. You know, that the IV drug users in Vancouver have now formed a union. I'm serious. Once again, the attempt to bring these quote unquote safe injection sites back, and then take care. Look at the taking care of homeless people, and the numbers are insurmountable. Do you think that any of the framers would have said it's perfectly okay to spend, you know, tax money on taking care of some guy who clearly won't work? Do you think that the framers would have said that's a good idea?
Absolutely not.
But that's
again,
right.
That goes back to what are the Ivy people? They're thinking only of themselves.
Well,
and that's the flip side of the coin.
But it's your
what
right.
What is your responsibility?
Nah. Well. I used the Opium Wars and what the British and the Americans did to the Chinese, and that's not lost on the Chinese doing it now with fentanyl to this country. And it was the Mandarin class of Chinese that allowed this to happen, and I think it's the Mandarin class of America that is, or at least the Mandarin class of certain places, that are allowing this to happen. As you know, and you're a really smart guy, I love your calls too. When the Mandarins wanted it, it was quite different than the person they called the coolie. And so because of time, do we have a Mandarin class in this country?
Oh, we absolutely do.
Absolutely.
I would say the Mandarin class, the distinction is between JFK's and the current class. The current Mandarins don't want to do anything for the people. They want it for themselves, the people is just propaganda.
Do you think, final question to you, Ralph, do you think that the Democratic Party, with open arms, would welcome John Kennedy?
Heavens no. But no party would today.
I agree. I mean, you want to hope that the Republicans would.
No, they wouldn't.
You're probably right. That's really sad. How about this one? Ronald Reagan. What would this National Republican Party do with Ronald Reagan?
Well, they kick him out just after they kicked out Kennedy. But you see, it's the we that Reagan and Kennedy were for that's now become the me.
Great call as always. The weekend is here. Folks on the phones, please stay there. Dan Kaplis. Talk about Danny all the time. Dan believed to be the only lawyer in Colorado history to win five straight multimillion-dollar jury verdicts in motor vehicle crash cases. And all the partners that work there, the largest truck crash jury verdicts in Colorado history. The firm's history of seven- and eight-figure settlements and verdicts speaks for itself. Our family went through something, and Danny was there. And I said those late-night phone calls, I know he's home, I know he's dead tired. And he'd call to make sure things were okay. They have a firm where good people, all walks of life, without regard to ability to pay, receive the same legal representation that the rich and powerful enjoy. Dan Kaplis believes, his firm believes, that talk is cheap, experience counts, results matter. The firm would be happy to share with you its track record of outstanding jury verdicts and out-of-court settlements. Kaplis Law, Danny believes that who you hire speaks volumes. And they suggest you choose the law firm that shares your values. The firm believes its core values have been the foundation of historic success, faith and integrity, hard work, and dedication to righteous causes. To again, Dan's help, simply a phone call, 303-770-5551, 303-770-5551. On the internet, it's Dan, CAPLISlaw.com. Here we go. 710 KNUS, Denver Stock Station. My mother, my father was, and my mother was green. Isn't the song, it's, or the other way around. And my father, he was, mother was green. Yeah, Bonnie Blue Flag, but there's lyrics that were, my mother, she was, my father, he was green, or forget that stuff. Much the same tomorrow in the high 40s, then the sun comes back Monday through Wednesday. It looks good. Calitrin will finish up with good calls. Calitrin, we've been talking about it. It's safe and it's natural, and I listened to Jeff Hunt talk about it. The side benefits, better sleep, more energy, less joint pain. Your skin looks better. It really doesn't interfere with any of your regular meds. 100% safe and stimulant-free. 86% success rate with weight loss. Easy one daily dose at bedtime, pills or liquid form, simple, it's convenient. The medical staff is available to answer questions if you need to, if you want to help and help your weight loss journey. The phone number, easy one, 833-TOP-LOSS, 833-TOP-LOSS. And go on the internet to toploss.com. And again, it's safest natural. We're talking about losing weight. Do this right. Better quality sleep and weight loss. The side benefits are there. It doesn't interfere with any of your regular meds. The success rate says 86% success rate with weight loss. Easy one-day dose at bedtime, pills or liquid form, simple and convenient. 833-TOP-LOSS, 833-TOP-LOSS, or toploss.com. We're ending up with, this is Tracy. Hey, Tracy, thank you. You're on the show. Good morning.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, Peter?
You know, I'm all good. It's good afternoon, I should say.
Yeah. Buenos tardes.
Yes.
I probably kind of butchered that. But anyway, hey, that song, what about the Irish Rovers, that the father was orange and the mother was
green? That's the song. Well, that was the theme. Yeah, my father was orange, meaning the father was a Protestant and his mother.
Well, yeah, it's English, yeah. And then the difference between the Anglicans, so.
Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you say.
No, you go.
Well, I was going to say.
No, I'm listening.
The orange comes from William of Orange, Orange Billy, and when they brought Orange Billy on the throne in England, they were also the Protestants. It's for another day, but they were the ones running the show, and they were Church of England, or they were Presbyterians.
Yeah, the House of Orange.
That's right.
And they were supposed to be the stewards over all of God's creation.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, but what I called to tell you, you know, the Ten Commandments would really solve a lot of these people problems. You know, not every one of them, but Jesus, you know, when you guys were speaking about the feast at different times and all these things, you know, in latitudes and longitudes and things like that, that Jesus said, there's a verse in one of the Gospels that Jesus says that Israel, don't you know when the time is at hand, when the tree starts to put forth green leaves? So you could see that here in Colorado, because spring begins at a different time than it does in the southern hemisphere. So there's variations of these things, and those things are acceptable. It is acceptable to keep the Passover and to follow Moses, you know, and there's a lot to learn about all these things. And I appreciate you having that guest on, and he had a lot to offer.
The interesting thing to me is the similarities and the differences, and they're, you know, you can drive a truck through the space of differences, but at the same time, at the root of all of it is actually
it's life.
Yeah, well, if all of it is true, and I put an if on it, it really comes back to Father Abraham.
Yeah, that's right.
And
Abraham is really a true person, and God made a covenant with him that he would be the father of many nations, and there was a split between Isaac and Ishmael, and Abraham was even tried in the fire because he had to let Ishmael go and Hagar go because Sarah, you know, she didn't get along with him, and Ishmael rose up to play with Isaac, and then Ishmael almost died in the wilderness of thirst, and so Abraham was tried, and he wouldn't withhold his natural born son because of his wife, you know, and he made it through that fire, you know. There's a lot of things to learn, you know. The best thing people could realize is not to go around cursing your family, because you know that's what you come from, and that's what you got, and you overcome the bad situations.
Well, the argument in the Islamic world is that God said to sacrifice the firstborn. Well, the firstborn was Ishmael. And
that's Egypt.
No.
Yes, it is. That the Egyptians, they sacrificed the firstborn of the Hebrews.
Listen to me. Let me try you again. I'm not talking about the curses on the Pharaoh. I'm talking about when the argument begins, and I've listened to both sides, and I can't tell you, you know, right from wrong, but the argument goes the firstborn was to be sacrificed. And of course, Abraham's proving his love, his obedience, and then they call off the sacrifice, and there's the ram in the bushes, caught in the bushes, and the ram is then sacrificed. But
so that's how we get to Aries, and so we got Capricorn and Aries and Taurus.
No, that stuff goes back to another separate part of that's astrology. But what I'm saying to you is, if you read from the Islamic world, or if you read from the Christian world, or you know, in the Hebrew world, the Hebrews and Christians agree that it's Isaac. In the Islamic world, they believe it's Ishmael, and
that's okay, because it says those things, you know, that first fruits are for the second born, and so Isaac would be the second born son unto Abraham.
But and
Ishmael was the first born, and it also says that God put, you know, it says that Ishmael's hand would be against his brother in the Bible. So Isaac is his brother, and there's a difference.
But
there.
Brothers being against brothers is an old theme, whether it's Joseph or whether it's Cain and Abel. And that's what
Let me say something.
Sure.
I don't mean to cut in.
No, please.
I woke up last night at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was listening to George Norrie, and George Christie was on there.
Yeah, and listen, I heard that going to work this morning. I going to the gym early, and they had George Christie on. I was surprised, and it was a woman filling in for George Norrie, and I heard that going to the gym early this morning.
Yeah, man, that was a great conversation. I was glad to hear it.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's he's on the History Channel, and you know, and he's But there's a separate, with friends of mine, tell a separate set of stories about George Christie. But, yeah.
Well, you know, one thing that stuck out, Ben's, we're talking about these brotherly conflicts, that he recognized it, too. He said that, you know, sometimes brothers have problems.
Yeah. That's Old Testament stuff. It's Cain killed Abel, and that's, you know, the first brother team, right? So
yeah, so you know that Eve was given another son. After that, a mark was put on Cain, and you could see why people would put a mark on Cain because he killed his brother because of an offering. You know that his offering, you know,
hey,
that Abel's
real quick,
offering.
Real quick, who did Cain marry?
You know, I don't know the daughters of Cana. You know, I don't know how all that stuff comes about. I'm not really versed in the Talmud, but I do know about the Bible.
All right, thanks for your call. Take care of yourself, man. Be safe, everybody. Thank you. This was a remarkable show. I thank Jim Emery. We sort of planned it out to have a segment with Jim, but he rocked it. I mean, the comment page is very good this morning, and the amount of off-air calls and people making comments about the appearance of Jim Emery. And again, I'm drawn to people like that who speak about, you know, he's a cultural anthropologist, but in the meantime, talking about the similarities of these three great faiths and the sadness that goes with it all. Music's in the background. It's St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Thank you very much. Lou Gonzalez, great job. Take care, everybody. Happy St. Pat's.
My mother was a Catholic girl from County Cork, was she? They were married in two churches, lived happily enough. Until the day that I was born, things got rather tough. Oh, it is the biggest mix-up.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.